frustrated and concerned over these things that have been a long-standing issues. So my hope is we can have resolution and be moving forward to create a system and an organization where people have job satisfaction and feel safe in the workplace and safe doing their jobs. So that's really important.
Thank you, Chris. Did you want to add anything to this? You've been part of quite a few meetings and discussing topic points on this letter.
Yes, some of the top things that members have been bringing up, I've taken those and I've taken those to the proper either staff or paramedic or volunteer, whatever they were concerned about, and already put in motion some training on some things when that can fit into the training schedule sooner rather than later. And as far as the organizational chart, we know that the one that is proposed is still not, it's still in flux, and we still want to hear from people on that, and we've heard some things from that, and so I've kind of adjusted, been working on that as the items that come in that they, you know, are concerned about. So in the next week, then there we should have another proposed organizational chart, taking all the comments in from that and looking at that and see if it more or accurately expresses the positions that we have and the duties that are done. So and I also welcome the continued input. Now that my wrist is it's not healed, but it's through surgery and all, I will be at the station more and at the district office more, and I'll post when I'm at the EMS office. And if you don't find me at the EMS office, you'll find me at the district office, and you can stop by anytime with any concerns or ideas, because if you want this to be collaborative and everyone to have an input, then you need to, if you have a part of a solution, then please come forth with it instead of, so we can plug that all in and we can do it sooner, because things need to be out there sooner. So thank you all for.
We did also send out, based on feedback from one of the volunteers who had some comments about the job description for director of ops, and he had said to me he really had some issues with it, and I, based on that, I asked Nathan to send it out one more time, which he did. We did hear back from some staff. Unfortunately, that particular volunteer chose not to give us any feedback, and fortunately, I was able to have a conversation with that volunteer to just say that we want your input. And I was really saddened that this particular volunteer chose not to give us input, feedback, and because some changes were made based on the feedback we did get. So it's really important. I just can't emphasize how important it is that, you know, you give us feedback, and we want to have open communication. And I'm delighted to be working on this board. I'm delighted to be working with our members, and we just want to work towards the best EMS we can be. So thank you all.
I have something I'd like to say about this too, when you're ready.
Yeah, I was just going to ask the other commissioners if they had any, you guys have read all of this correspondence, if you had anything to add. No, so Nathan, it's all yours. Yep. Or or Kyle, go ahead. Hard to.
I'm happy to defer to Mr. Butler, and then I'll have a couple of comments after he's done.
Okay, sounds good.
You know, I just wanted to say, you know, we do have an amazing organization, you know, and we get that ambulance out the door, and we take care of people, and whatever the noise, this is a professional excellence service. We couldn't be prouder of our responders and of our agency. Mm-hmm. I think that some of the issues we've had stem from our move towards the 24/7 staffing of the station. And the reason I say that is because our staff don't tend to be on duty at the same time. There's very little overlap. And so how we communicate with each other is an ongoing problem. And how we communicate as an agency, when you're basically having people, everyone's on a shift, and there's not a lot of redundancy there. We've got 4 medics and 4 full-time EMTs, and they're basically all being fully utilized across the board. And so how do you bring people in for staff meetings? Well, you got to pay overtime, or you've got to work out something with the volunteers. Somehow you have to work that out, and those issues haven't really been fully resolved. And they're really thorny issues. Like, there's no easy answer to that. Somehow you have to find ways to get people in the room virtually or literally and communicate. And that's a hard problem. It's one of the things we're going to work on in our union negotiations next month as we negotiate with the medics and the EMTs, is figuring out how we can make that happen, how we can get our medics consistently in training with the EMTs, how we can work out some of these issues. And they're not super straightforward. I think in some ways we never really made the transition to a 24/7 service. You know, we have the same furniture we had from the old facility from before we moved to 24/7. You know, and now that we have people 24/7 in the station, and people are pulling 48-hour shifts using, you know, dirty, damaged, worn-out furniture from 20 years ago doesn't cut it. And that's one of the things the budget calls for, is improving that. I know it's not like a top-level issue, but it just speaks to the challenges of changing our response model, which we changed on January 1st, 2019. And it's just sort of a transition that's not totally complete. And I'm not casting aspersions on any past leadership. It's just simply a challenging issue. And we do intend to find ways to move forward on that. And I know that the issues with volunteers, some of the volunteers and stuff, you know, it's all related. It all comes down really to communication and how we manage to do that in an agency where we're basically splitting everybody up on these different shifts, and there's just not a lot of overlap. So we're working to try to figure that out. I just wanted to add that comment. And so thank you for the professionalism and excellence of our responders. They've been patient and professional and done their jobs, and couldn't be happier with them.
Well said, Nathan. Thank you.
I guess I'd just like to chime in to also say that I have really appreciated the opportunity to meet so many of our volunteers, and I'm so impressed with the level of professionalism and expertise and interest in their job and interest in serving this community as first responders. And that's been really heartwarming. And I'm just really impressed with all the members that I've had a chance to meet.
Kyle?
Sure, thanks. I'll make this very brief. I actually found this letter very gratifying. I think it confirmed some of our recent activities. I certainly share all of the goals that the group of volunteers put in their letter, and I was beginning to share a lot of the same concerns based on information that we did receive, which trickles up to us sometimes in a pretty slow fashion and works its way through our leadership to get to the commission. Which is, I think, generally the right way to go in the proper form. Sometimes, though, you need to hear from others and receive feedback. And so I'm grateful that we had the chance to receive that feedback from volunteers who felt strongly enough to write a letter. I hope that they will continue to share generally in an appropriate way right through leadership. And then if they feel they're not getting satisfaction, then bring it to us. And we have meetings monthly where I know that's not an easy thing to do necessarily, but where if somebody feels that they do have this level of concern, I hope that they will find a way to communicate it to us. And I look forward to working with them and with our employees as well, and all the staff as one large body to keep providing the service that we do and provide excellent medical service, emergency response that our community wants and is willing to support. So thanks for the letter.
And I just want to thank Nathan and Trish and Annalisa and Pam, especially for putting so much time in and really being thoughtful about all the needs and all that you're hearing and really sifting that out. I don't know, you know, it's taking on all the issues is difficult, but you certainly have a wonderful intention of trying to understand what's going on, and I appreciate all the creative thought to Nathan, especially, and Pam at this time to figure out what's the best way to go and to serve everybody's needs. So I appreciate that because I have not put as much time into that direct communication. So I appreciate that you're so committed to that and are working hard at that.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure.
This is Commissioner Clary. I also was, I was gratified to see the letter, very happy to see the letter, because so often all you ever hear is rumors, and sometimes an individual speaks out frequently because they're angry about something. I found the letter to be very well considered, and again, I agree with Commissioner Loring. It was very gratifying to see that it was things that we were already worried about and thinking about, so even working on. But I would hope that it's not the only letter that we get, and that we get a letter that says, this is how you're doing, or this is what you're not doing, because I hate to see things just one great big sort of shock thing, and then you never hear anything at all, anything more. We need continuing conversations, and though conversations with individuals are important, and you certainly have to believe everything that person is telling you, group conversations are really important, and a letter signed by a group of people holds more weight, and I really appreciate it that they took the time to do that. So I hope they don't stop. I hope they don't stop, whether it be from our point of view, positive or negative, it's communications, and that's important. So thank you all for who have communicated and who are going to communicate. Please keep it up.
Thank you, everyone. Okay, so we'll keep moving forward, and hopefully we can continue to work well together. So I guess if we have nothing left in this on this topic, we'll move to audience participation. Is there any? Remember, everybody, you press *6, unmute yourself if you have anything to say.
We did get, this is Nathan, Richard Grout did email me his statement. He said he couldn't stay till the second audience participation. Let's give people a moment to unmute themselves, though, if they want to. And I know that it's working because I've had to mute a few people that have called in because of noise. So I know the system's working. I can't promise that it's working across the board 100%. But you really should be able to unmute yourself and participate. So if you press *6, unmute yourself at this time, and then just indicate if you want to say something.
quiet out there. Maybe everyone's fallen asleep.
We still have, let's see, 24 attendees in addition to you. So there are people here.
If no one is interested in audience participation, I guess what I would just like to put out to those that are listening, to the members, that I would love to have a small committee of the volunteers to meet with. And if someone wanted to spearhead that and reach out to me, I don't know who that would be. I know that, we've spent time with Aaron Graham and Adam Green in particular. And if either of them would like to spearhead a committee, I'm just going to throw that out there. I'm not sure how best to go about doing that, because to have a representative of the volunteers would just be, two or three people to meet with would be really helpful. So anybody want to chime in to share how that might work best? I'm open to ideas.
Well, this is John Salinas.
Hi, John.
And I would like to say that, Nathan, thanks for your summary of what's been happening about communication and about how staffing limits communication. That was all right on. But I did get a little, I felt a little off base when you said communication is a problem, because, let's see, what was I going to say? Because it's unclear who the leadership is that we're supposed to communicate with. Or it's unclear who the leadership is who's supposed to communicate with us. That's kind of the unclear part. So I think most of us have taken a step back now, and we're thinking, how do we communicate? And the answer is for the volunteers through our lieutenants. And so I know that Kathleen has done a couple things with Maddie, who is our lieutenant here on the north side of the island. And so I think you're going to see that the communication channels are going to open between the volunteers through their lieutenants. So watch for that, Nathan. And hopefully the lieutenants will bring that, up to Pamela and then to you guys.
Yeah, right now the, thank you, John. I mean, right now, ideally the lieutenants are going to report to, we're still hoping to implement a captain system, which is common. So lieutenants to captains and then to the director of ops, but we don't have captains or director of ops right now. So Pam is next in chain of command after the lieutenants. Am I correct on that, everyone? People are nodding. You probably can't see them.
Oh.
So the nuance.
Affirmative.
So Nathan, you can see, yes, if you guys are confused, it's even more confusing out here.
Fair
Part
enough.
Of the problem is we keep the have the microphone unmuted, and so we fumble around trying to unmute the thing so that we can comment. So we just nod. So the other commissioners know what we're doing, but unfortunately, you don't know. This is a horrible way to have to meet. But John, you're right. I never been a commissioner before, and so we went through a kind of commissioner training thing, and in the commissioner training thing they told us that we were actually not supposed to get down and involved in the minutiae of things, that it was broad brush strokes that we were to be involved in. And I think that we would prefer that if it worked better for the chain of command. But at the same time, I have to say it's really hard not to jump in and do something when you know something is not the way it should be, because I think we all feel that way, that we'd all like to be taking active participation in trying to help out. So in that respect, I think I can speak, I'll speak for myself. anybody can call me anytime, actually, but it's probably best for the chain of command, for the people that you work for, that you go through them first and not jump to me. But if you need to jump to a commissioner, you can always call me. I'm in the phone book. Just call me and be glad to talk to you. But try to work through your chain of command first to maintain the authority. And but I have to tell you, we are all very much interested in how things turn out. So, and have been from the word go. So, yeah, that's, I better shut up. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. You summed up the whole thing really well. And everything that I do with EMS was summed up in your word minutia. So all the word minutia for me is operations. And every detail of when a page goes out and how I respond is in that operations piece. And so if there's not a clear expectation in operations, if there's not a clear expectation in who I communicate with, then it's frustrating down here. And maybe it doesn't work. And that's where I think you're going to get the feeling for unsafe conditions and all of those things kind of come from that. So thanks, Everett.
Yeah, we're operating at a disadvantage because we don't have that director of logistics and operations. We clearly need that role. It's intended to be someone who's actively engaged with the volunteers and with staff, and we simply don't have someone in that role. So if it feels a little fuzzy, it's primarily because of that. I mean, the lieutenants report to the director of ops, who reports to Pam. But we don't have a director of ops, so they report to Pam directly right now. The component, we've mentioned this before, that we're relying a lot on Weishan right now to help some with ops. I don't think she's particularly thrilled about that. It's a lot of extra hours for her. But the chain of command still goes to Pam. It's just that she's working with Weishan to make sure that she has that input from someone with operational background. But the chain of command still is lieutenants to Pam right now. Just to clarify that.
So Nathan, it's good for you to just verbalize that so that we can get a feeling for, you know, what you guys are expecting. So that gives us an idea of what to do, because the expectations were unclear for a while there.
Yeah. And, John and I really do apologize about that. I mean, So after Carl left and Pam shattered her wrist, you know, we were doing a lot of kind of making do. But Pam is back. I mean, she's in the office and she's working full time. So, she's fully active and engaged. So lieutenants do report to Pam right now until we have a director of operations.
Go ahead.
Was someone trying to say something? I was just going to say Linda McCarthy sent me a short statement, and then Richard Grout, since we're still technically in audience participation, just depends on if we're done with this topic.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I didn't want you to forget about the other shares. This is Gail.
Like it.
Okay, so let's see, reorient myself here. Pam, did you have anything you wanted to add on that before we change subjects?
Yes, as I said before, I am back working full time at the district office, and I will be in the EMS office more. I haven't set the office hours yet, but you can reach me at the district office if you don't see me at EMS. And for now, until we get that director of operations, it does go from lieutenant to me. And I'm hoping that we will have some really good candidates for the director of operations soon, and we can get that hole plugged, and it would be a lot easier and efficient, and everyone will know more than they do right now. So thank you.
The other one, and I'm sorry, Commissioner Lindstrom, I don't mean to like take over here. I just want to, can I add one more thing, if that's all right?
Completely fine, Nathan.
I wanted to add that the chain of command does have lieutenants reporting to Pam right now, and we'll add the director of operations. The layer of commissioner participation is something we've historically done, is that we have two commissioner liaisons to the district that people can talk to. And that's to express your concerns, issues, comments, questions. But that's not really a chain of command thing. I mean, you can express your concerns, because the fact is you're all citizens, you're taxpayers. There is value in having you be able to talk to commissioners, but that's sort of a separate thing from chain of command. You're not going to get a decision out of a commissioner when you meet with them. They'll listen to your concerns, but they're not going to give you a decision on anything, because chain of command goes through Pam. But you know, if for whatever reason, you know, you want to talk to a commissioner, talk to Trish or Annalisa, that's perfectly fine. Neither Pam, myself, nobody has an issue with that. It's perfectly fine. But we're talking chain of command, people that can make decisions, people who can act operationally. You know, that does follow the chain of command. So it's sort of two separate things going on. I just wanted to clarify that. You can talk to Annalisa. You can talk to Trish. They're the delegates for people to talk to. But they're not going to give you decisions on stuff. They make decisions through their executive and as a board in board meetings. Okay. I'm sure that's clear. We can keep talking about it. I wanted to read Linda McCarthy's statement here. Let's see. I'm trying to speak, but you don't seem to hear me. Please thank the commissioners for their support. Linda. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Linda McCarthy. I don't know what's going on with the audio. That's two people that have had issues, but I know that other people are able to speak. So I don't know if that's like specific to people or if it's a team's issue, but Linda McCarthy, the director of Planned Parenthood, Mel Baker, Planned Parenthood, wanted to say thank you. So, and then the other is Richard Grout's statement. Are you ready for me to read that, Commissioner Lindstrom?
Please.
Okay. So this is Richard Grout. I know you've been taking some heat for your decision to replace the interim chief, so I want to commend you for doing what I believe was in the best interest of the organization and the public. The former interim chief is a longtime friend. My wife and I hired him when he was a surveyor, and he was great to work with. But in my opinion, he didn't have the background or experience for the chief's job, and after a while, it began to show. I've been following the hospital district and EMS closely since the summer of 2015, and it was apparent to me that things were not going well under his direction. And from what I've seen, things have improved under the new interim chief. I know from my own career that it's almost always difficult to dismiss someone, but you have to do what's right for the organization, especially when you're spending taxpayer dollars. I think some of the criticism you've received was not well informed, and in one case, it came from a person who, in my opinion, has a history of malicious and duplicitous comments. I hope you will not let that influence you. As you know, I do not think it is in the public interest to merge the fire district under the current leadership at fire, when 80% of the emergency calls on the island are medical. It seems to me the hospital commission and EMS should be driving the emergency response bus. I urge you to move in that direction, and I want to thank you again for doing your job responsibly. That's Richard Grout.
Thanks for that, Nathan. Do we have any further? If we don't have any more comments from the audience, I would just open it up to commissioner comments if there are any. I know we're just, you know, we're good at these long meetings, so there anything to add before we adjourn? If there isn't anything, other comment from Heather Vogel. I see her hand up. Can you somehow, is there a miracle? Can she speak, Heather?
She's joining through Teams. She should be fine.
Oh, great.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I've debated for a long time on whether or not I was going to open my mouth and speak, but I feel like I need to. There is a reason why board commissioners are supposed to be financial oversight. And that is because they are to help to be a checks and balances for somebody who is leading an agency or something of the sort. The actions that were recently done, I know you guys know that I do not agree with. And I don't agree with them because it brought about a lot of chaos. A lot of the issues that have been stated by EMTs as being issues have been long-standing issues. Long, long before Carl became interim chief. I have watched this agency from an outside perspective and got to see it from an inside perspective. From the outside, I watched it go from morale to worsening morale as the time went on from about the end of 2012. Saw the morale tank. And I've started to see the morale start to move in the right direction as Carl was working very hard to try to right some of the issues. Those issues, being as longstanding as they were, takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. And there are going to be people that are going to get upset because things are changing. That's just what's going to happen. However, I do think that Carl was actually moving this agency as much as he could, as much as he had leeway to do so, in the right direction. And suddenly, this agency got thrown into a mass amount of chaos that wasn't necessary. And I have to disagree. I think the PhD is awesome, and I think it is fantastic that you guys are working together to move towards trying to fix the issues with long-term care and community paramedicine, all of those issues. I think that is exactly the purview that should be dealt with here. EMS is emergency medical services. It is emergency medical management. It's emergency medical response. It is basic medical intervention. And should be run by people who have experience in that emergency response. I have debated a long time on whether or not I was going to speak, but I feel it's really important as I keep hearing people throw Carl under the bus. And I know everybody's going to say that's not what was happening, but coming from out here, that's exactly how it sounds. And I don't agree. And it's sad. And it's frustrating. And I feel that there needs to be more done to right what has happened, which is why I am working as hard as I am to make sure that the person that comes into the position that I'm leaving has what they need to be able to do the best with little training time. I had to learn a lot of this. I had to sit side by side with Carl to learn some of these things. It's something that Carl and I both felt strongly about and felt like it was the best move, knowing that I was looking to move in a direction that would be more utilizing my nursing degree. So I have to strongly disagree with the negative comments about Carl and his leadership. And I just think that it needs to stop. You know, this is our community, and we should be seeking to do what is right for our community, not for ourselves, but for our community. And I hope that decisions going forward are with that and that only in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Heather.
Nathan, this is Adam Green. Is it okay if I chime in?
Please do.
Thanks. I just wanted to dovetail there on that last comment. I think the board may misunderstand the meaning of that letter. And I don't want to speak for the entire group because I was just one of 21 folks who signed that letter. But that letter came about specifically because Carl was forced to resign. And it was because of a lot of angst around that and the feeling that that was not a move in the right direction. People were really upset and people were really hurt. And there are a lot of different levels of feeling there. But it definitely, I just want to make it clear that that letter wasn't in support of the board's removal of Carl. It was the exact opposite. So I'll stop there because, again, folks, the 21 folks who signed that letter did so for different reasons and different degrees of feeling on this topic. But the one universal one was the removal of Carl triggered that letter. And please don't view it as supporting the board's resolution.
Thank you, Adam. I did not interpret the letter that way. And in fact, I very specifically saw it as a reaction to our action and really you needing to hear what the plan is from us, what our short and long-term plans and goals are for the agency. So I appreciate you clarifying that. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you, Adam. This is Trish Lehman. Because I did not take the letter as in support of our decision either. I understood it to be over distress that Carl is no longer there. So, yeah.
Okay. Is there anything further this evening?
Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the conversation. I appreciate it.
Yes. Absolutely. Thank you all that have been here with us now for more than two and a half hours, taking your precious time, basically. Yes, for our lengthy meeting. Yeah.
Okay. Well, if there's nothing further, I will move to adjourn this meeting. I thank everyone for their time and their concern and their care. And I look forward to moving forward with all of you and all of the members of EMS. So, thank you.
Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night night.
Good night.